Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning. Praise the Lord.
You know, God is moving by the Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
You know, I rejoiced when I heard that Jesus appeared to people. And that was, you know, some people are just people. Some people were taught wrong, and it wasn't by their choice, and they were sincere towards God, so Jesus appeared to them. That's a blessing. I don't want anybody to miss heaven.
That shows how much you love them.
Yeah, and I love them too.
When I hear about that, I'm like, this is how much he loves them.
Yeah.
The gospel's not being preached, so he has to go himself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Praise the Lord.
And it, I believe in contending for people that don't know. And you know, you use your authority, you pray for them, and I say, Lord, I got a new confession. In order to do his will, I always pray that I do what's in his heart. And I confess that I'll do what he get me to do. Because I don't know where to start, being honest. But he can take a person and cause them to do a perfect work. And you know, and that's what I'm looking for. That's what I'm counting on. I can't orchestrate it, but he can. He can cause me to say the right thing at the right time, and it'll work. So it is with anybody, you know.
You put a word in your mouth.
Yeah. Amen. At a strategic time, and it can make the difference.
Amen.
And the Holy Spirit is wise enough to do it.
Amen. You put that word in your mouth.
Yeah.
Amen.
And okay, we made it to verse 17 in chapter 8 last week. And this is when Philip went down to Samaria. And they all got saved, even Simon the sorcerer. And verse 17.
That's a pretty good message, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, it's not so much of what he preached, it was the Holy Spirit. See, Acts is the acts of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
It was the Holy Spirit working with him that was drawing those people. Because nobody comes to God unless they're drawn.
That's right.
By God. So, in the book of Acts, the emphasis a whole lot on the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. That was the act of the Holy Spirit. To bring a whole town?
Yeah.
To bring a whole town?
Yeah.
To, it would be like somebody preaching and all of Adamsville come.
Mm-hmm. That's
and not just come, but get saved. These folks got saved.
Mm-hmm.
They burnt their books. They actually got saved.
They did. That's
Looked
right.
Looked down on the taverns. The prostitution stopped. Everything stopped.
I say that's not just a man speaking God's word. That's an anointing with it.
See, the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit working with
that's
him.
That's an anointing. And the Holy Spirit is, he directs the anointing. And when he anoints a person, that the anointing is not to be underestimated, because you can't see it. When an evangelist like Philip or Billy Graham come to town, they speak the same words the pastors did, same thing, and sometimes a much shorter message. But the anointing that's on them breaks the yoke, and people can see it. But when the pastor, if he didn't have the evangelist anointing, his anointing won't break a yoke like that. A pastor is anointed to help people grow, just like corn. You know, it takes a while for corn to grow. Well, it takes time for people to learn and become mature Christians, and pastors help people do that.
And helps prepare the ground for the evangelist too.
Right, and they're anointed for another purpose. The evangelist gets them started, then the pastor comes and helps them grow.
To grow.
And the teacher helps them learn.
But you know, that's what they said happened to Billy Graham.
Uh-huh.
He got a lot of people saved, but it was no churches there to bring them in and help them to grow.
Mm-hmm.
So some of them went back.
Yes, ma'am.
And they said it was Billy Graham's fault. That was not Billy Graham's fault.
It's not
Billy Graham did the evangelistic
did
work.
And some pastors got jealous of it.
Should have been there to grab those people and help them to grow.
That were pastors.
Whatever group they were in, they should have been there.
Right. That were pastors that actually got jealous of him, because he said, now I've been preaching all this time, and now they go and get saved over there, and I couldn't do it. And some of them told people not to go. I mean,
That's
why it's dangerous for people not to understand.
You know, that's what Brother Horton was talking about this morning with the saints in the 10th chapter of Cornelius. They saying, yeah. Peter, you went over there and you got them saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. You did wrong and
yeah, rebuking them for doing God's will.
Everything that God had done.
You understand, people are still doing that now.
Yes, sir.
Anything they're not used to, they won't budge. There's a difference between, with the anointing, you have to have faith. And then you have to also have trust. Yes. Now, faith brings Isaac. Isaac's born by faith. Trust gave him to God. You see the difference? What if Abraham said, no, you gave me my son, you fulfill your promise, I can't give him back to you. I don't trust you enough to give him back.
Then that was, and Jesus.
He trusted God with his prosperity. He trusted God with his only begotten son, a promise. Mm-hmm. And then that sealed the deal.
Well, see what he believed, he said Abraham really saw the resurrection. He said, if I give him to you, give him back to you, you're going to raise him up.
And see, in order for the anointing to work, you have to have both. You can't just have faith. You have to have faith, and then you have to have trust. You have to trust the Lord with everything you got. And when that can't happen, the anointing can't operate. It's there, but it's suspended. And when Philip preached over here, his anointing was activated because he was in obedience. He was in trust. He did. He went where God told him. And you have to go where God said go.
Right.
You have to. He couldn't preach. He couldn't do this work somewhere else. He had to go to Samaria. And then he had to open his mouth and preach. Then his anointing was working.
Yeah.
Now, then the people heard and they activated on their side. If the Lord sent an anointed person to give you a word, they did their part. Now you have to activate it to benefit from it. And I activate pastor's anointing and y'all's anointing all the time, because when y'all are speaking, I'm listening. And when you say something, I'm catching it. And the Lord calls you to say more when people do that. A lot of times, the Lord will give me something to say. And I say it, if people are receptive, I say more than I thought. Mm-hmm. If they reject it, the whole thing stops. So you can activate and deactivate the anointing.
Amen. That's good.
And when, he was anointed to get them saved. He did his part. Then Peter came and they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. Then the pastors had to come and help them grow. And the teachers had to come and help them learn. And then they had to become what God would want them to be, and the whole process starts over again. But when people stop, when they won't give Isaac away, they're not trusting God, and so then their anointing is suspended. And their actions become tradition. And nobody expects the move that could be until people follow God. That's why, you know, the Lord wants to do more than he could do. When the church gets to a certain point and it looks big to man, people stop trusting God. And when it happened, and God wanted to do so much more.
Amen.
And sometime I had a glimpse of it, but I couldn't say anything, because in order for that to happen, the only way it could happen is people have to trust God. They have to follow him. They have to act on their trust. How can two walk together unless they be in agreement?
Amen.
So, because I know this, I work to remain in agreement with God.
That's good.
And God is here.
That's good.
Because you've never seen some of the things he want to do, you have to prepare for the unexpected. Because God do unexpected things. He fulfills unexpected needs.
Thank you, Jesus.
And you have to be, I like how Brother Horton said, do it on purpose. You know, you run to the will of the Lord, not from it. And you have to be ready when he comes with something new.
It's really not unexpected to him.
Mm-mm, but it's unexpected to me. And I have failed before, just like others. And I said, no more. I want to make sure I don't. I'm not afraid because God taught me not to be afraid. But in order to cooperate, I just can't leave it up to happenstance. I have to be ready when he's ready, especially when he speaks. When he say, he's been giving me a promise and repetition for the last 3 or 4 years. Uh-huh. And I started confessing that, what he's been confessing. Mm-hmm. And that way, when it happens, I'll be ready. I won't be lagging behind, and he want to do something. And the anointing can remain activated, and people can, that's how it has to be. But, and the Lord, he used you in the jurisdiction of your anointing. When you do your part, you're done, and somebody else is supposed to pick up. It's just like Philip. Philip didn't lay hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost. Peter did. He was anointed to do that, not Philip. In verse 17, then laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. Now, this was just the order of God at that time. Philip, there's no reason why he couldn't have laid hands on them. But he didn't have an anointing for it because of the way God did it.
And not only that, he didn't have a faith for it. He didn't have a faith that he could lay hands on people and they could receive it. He thought the apostle.
And then people will, they needed to look to the apostles at that time. That was a need because Peter saw the Lord ascend. Jesus put Peter there to help him first. If Philip had laid hands and they received it, they would have looked to Philip when they should have been looking to Peter till they get to the point that they could look to Christ. The wisdom of the Holy Spirit is always there, and we can learn from it. Philip, he was a child of God. He's in the kingdom of God. He can do the works of God. But what God gives us to do at the specific time, that's what's important. That'll work the best. It's not that he couldn't, or he may not have been able to. Maybe he could, maybe he couldn't. But the way the Holy Spirit set it up is the reason they did it that way.
I believe he could have. Mm-hmm.
And
I don't think he believed he could have.
Possibly, yeah. But then, and the way the Lord do things is wisdom in it. Mm-hmm. It'll work better if God do it a certain way. You have to, sometimes you can do it, but when God use somebody else, when he starts doing that, I back off. I'm watching him. It's not about me, it's about him. I'm watching him. And I'm learning from what he do. Mm-hmm. Because he know how, when the Lord do something, he selected that avenue above other choices. And whatever he selects to do, that's the path to take. And I try to quickly get in line with what he's doing. Then when he wants me to do something, I have to jump out there and do it. And then when he's done, I jump back and let somebody else do it. It's not about prestige, it's about him. It's about what we're, I love the people. At the end of the day, the main thing I want, I want anybody that can serve God, that will hear the gospel and believe it, I want them to hear.
Amen.
I don't care if I go unknown. I just want the work to be done. Amen. And when the work is done, I can get out of here.
Yes, Lord.
And you know, it doesn't matter how we look. It's a matter of the purpose. That's the heart of God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Verse 19. When Simon saw that through laying on the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because that thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Now he rebuked him. That didn't mean that he was doomed. But that frame of thought would have got him killed. Because in verse 21, he said, thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God.
Whoa.
And he said his heart, not his mind, but his heart. Then he said, repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee.
So he told him the Holy Ghost was not forsaken.
Right. Okay. And it's still not.
I mean, if it had been some of these preachers, they would have found a way to sell something, you know.
If they'll stop right now, hell might be a little bit cooler for them. Cause God will forgive you for anything, but don't blaspheme the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
And then verse 23 says, "For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity." He was captured.
The bond of iniquity.
Yeah.
Lawlessness.
Mm-hmm. And hopefully he repented, because in verse 24 it says, "Then answered Simon and said, Pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me."
I think they put that in there to show you that he did have a little change of heart. Because he could have just walked away and not said nothing.
Yeah.
But you can see that heart is changing there. Pray for me, y'all. You know, I don't want that to happen. He said it out of ignorance.
But it was still in his heart.
Yeah, it definitely was in his heart. I mean, you know.
And you know.
He had done what he done for many, many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
And he saw power there. Where he exercised power, where he had the whole city bewitched.
Mm-hmm.
And they took his books and burned them. And I mean, you know, just like, think about, like the man of God came in and got the whole city. He had the whole city.
Mm-hmm.
He had all the power.
Mm-hmm. Now, when Paul was Saul, and Jesus knocked him off his horse, he changed his heart. Mm-hmm. He had a heart change. And somehow, Simon didn't. He had to be rebuked. But then again, he didn't know the word either. And when something's in a person's heart, that's what they will do. Because I tried to shake habits or conditions or things that would... I said, "Lord, why is this so hard?" He said, "That's what's in you." He showed me what was in my heart. Then I could deal with it from the heart.
Right.
And you always make a change in the heart. So I would use Charles Capp's confession and say, "I hate this particular thing. I love this particular thing." Mm-hmm. I never had a real problem with pride, but when I realized God hated it, for years, I said, "I hate pride." I said it in faith, I meant it. Minute every time. I hate
Amen.
It. Then I'd say I hate it like God hates it. And I love his people. I will confess that I love his people, his word, his will, his ways.
Mm-hmm. Pride keeps you from giving. It keeps you from just about everything.
Yeah.
It keeps you from being bold.
And I say I love obedience. You know, things like that's what you can't the way that I've been fighting the enemy for years. And with him you can't leave nothing to happenstance. He will tempt you, and if you don't say anything, he'll let it grow like a seed. You'll be forgot about it. And then there will be a day he'll surprise you with something. And you have and you're not fortified like you should be. And it'll take the Lord to help you stand at that point. But there's no need to get to that point. What I started doing, if he tried to tempt me with something, and I know I'm not tempted with it, I'll confess that I'm not tempted with it, and I'll rebuke him anyway. And it always works. You have to be offensive with it. It's like Pastor said, you hit him hard, and you hit him till he can't do anything. You got to be a warrior now. There's no room for being a citizen. You got to be a warrior.
That's good.
And you got to be a warrior about the things of God.
That's good. That's really good.
All right. How much time we got? We out.
Yeah, we out of time.
Okay. I get us out of eight next week.
Mark it there so you know what verse you left off.
Okay. We start with Simon. And we'll pick up with Peter.
Okay,
that's a good place to start. We'll start on verse 25. Yeah. And we ended with Simon's prayer. But the Lord wants to, this is what I understand. He can take anybody and do a great work. It doesn't make, any Christian will do if they're willing. If they can be willing and obedient,
mm-hmm.
if they can operate in the authority God can do a work with.
Amen.
And don't. And there are reasons he don't. Most time it's because people, they're going to look at you. And if you don't know how to look to Christ, then they'll look to you and they'll do what you do. Because no tree can bear fruit. A good tree can't produce good fruit. I mean, bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. We produce after our kind. And some things have to be in place. But the move of God is beyond us. You know, and he can take a regular old Joe and do a mighty work. But see, in the last days, just before the rapture, he will. Because they're not going to have time to look to him. You're going to see. Right before the, let me stop, right, well, I'll pick up next week. We're going to see a move of God.
Hey. I'll put it that way.
Dear Lord, I thank you for your word.
Yes,
I thank
Lord.
You for your wisdom. I thank you for what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I pray that all of your will be done. None of it quailed. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. We're going to see a mighty move of God.